Proverbs 4, you'll notice again how often the idea of a path, the idea of a walk, comes into view. Verse 11, for example, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I have led thee in a right paths. Verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established, and so on. Now that's a lot of references. And of course, in between these verses, everything else, all of the other verses, are connected to this path or this walk. It's really a remarkable text that includes one overriding primary theme. And that theme, you'll notice, is found in verse 18. It says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto, which means until, the perfect day. Well, that's a familiar and beloved text. I have a print in my office, which Louise bought for me years ago from Kirkland's, the one that used to be over there in Legacy Place. It's a painting of a tree-lined road that leads to a very bright light. And since it reminded me of this same text, I asked Pat Morrell down here if he would engrave this verse, and I placed it on the frame. What I don't have in my office is a painting from Kirkland's or anywhere else that reminds me of the full context and the companion to verse 18, which is the next verse, verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, maybe I should. Maybe I should have that picture in my office on the opposite wall. The path of the wicked is darkness. Actually, I'll put that in your office, Brother Jason, all right? That'll be yours. And what is that? That's a tree-lined road that leads to what? To the Green Bay Packers? I'm still bitter about that, yes. What verse applies to Dolphin Stadium? Well, I've noticed that's verse 14. Enter not in the path of the wicked. And then verse 15 says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Amen. Which brings us back to our text and to the reasons why this promise and this truth should completely and can permanently change your perspective and mine today. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I want to speak this morning on the subject, pondering your path. Let me say this. Everybody in this room is on a journey. Every single person or the sound of my voice right now, everybody in this room and everybody in the world is walking a path. And it would be a huge help and blessing if we would follow the counsel of God in verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet. By the way, notice it is ponder the path not of your neighbor's feet. It's don't ponder the path of the person in front of you or behind you. Ponder the path of thy feet. Father, please speak to our hearts today. And we've already asked for your help, and we ask for it again. Please help us. Please. To hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We'll praise you for what's done in our hearts and our lives, and for the fruit that will remain because of it. We'll glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three truths that I want us to consider this morning from this amazing promise in Proverbs 4. And the first one you'll notice is that, number one, for some, on this path of the just, everything that is good is getting better. Verse 18 again, but the path of the just. Now, of course, the first thing you'll notice is what the Scripture calls the path of the just. Obviously, hey, that's a good thing, right? I mean, far better to be on a path that is called the path of the just than to be on a path of the unjust. Verse 14, again, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Yeah, no thanks. I don't want any part of that. Now, folks, look, the glory of salvation itself, the blessing of being justified, which is why it's called the path of the just, the blessing of that is that Christ has put us. Jesus literally put us on this new path. Psalm 40 says, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He brought me up out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and then He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth. Romans 6:4 says, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's resurrection. And like as that happened, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So yes, just the reality that you're on the path that is called the path of the just is so good. I mean, it's all good. But notice how the path of the just is characterized in the Bible. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light. In other words, look, it's not just good. This path that you're on, it's really good. Light is the opposite of darkness. You know, 4 years of living in Satellite Beach as a boy, there were a lot of pitch black nights I would go walk on the beach. Barefoot, always, of course. And you know, on cloudy nights, those nights, even the light that might come from the stars was completely blocked out. You could not see a thing. And so, yeah, it's disconcerting. It's even dangerous. I've stepped on broken glass bottles. I don't know how many men of war stung dozens of times. I've stepped on mysterious things, things that moved under my feet. I still don't know what they were. And you all know this. You know that if you've ever done it, it is infinitely better to walk barefoot at night on the beach when just the moon is out. So that just the light of the moon itself changes everything on your path. Well, folks, the path of the just is a path with light. This is a path with shining light. In fact, the Hebrew word, look it up, it literally means a bright light. And that's also a very good thing. However, that's not the best part. The best part is what else it says. Verse 18 again. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more. In other words, hear this carefully. When it comes to believers who walk with God on this path, everything that's good just keeps getting better. You know, I've been thinking about the word progressive. And let me just say, I don't mean this just in the political sense, but mostly in the philosophical and in the social realm. Modern progressivism began during the so-called Enlightenment with thinkers like Voltaire and Huxley. And later, John Dewey, and of course, later on, Woodrow Wilson and Jane Addams, and now it's AOC and Elie Mystal. And it's supposedly all about human progress. Government is God, forcing so-called equity, revolution. It's called progressive because it promises progress, but to no one's surprise. Secularism cannot give real progress. All it actually does is tear down statues. It proposes change without any reflection. It ignores the unintended and sometimes the intended consequences of human misery. And it has always been divisive, polarizing, unethical, controlling, as we saw during COVID, far overreaching. And it's one reason why there's so much growing and perpetual dissatisfaction and ingratitude within it. Have you ever met, this is many of my neighbors, but have you ever met a truly grateful, contented, thankful, joyful progressive? Not really. Most progressives actually hate Thanksgiving and Christmas and July 4th and Easter. They don't even really like families, not true families. Because if you take God and His Word out of the path, there is no progression of anything that is good. But with the path of the just, which is the shining light, the Bible says, that path is, in fact, true progress because it shines. But it shines more and more and more. You know, when Matt Higgins was here recently from Hope Children's Home, and you remember he showed a picture of three sad, disheveled little sisters the day that they arrived at his home. Remo's here. Mary Lou, God bless you. Speaking of sad, disheveled. Hey, God bless you guys. Welcome home. Man, alive, it's been a while. But there they were. They arrived there, and remember the picture he showed up on the screen, and they were sad, and they were the results of secularism. And then he showed the more recent picture. After they had gotten saved, these little girls, grown in the Lord. And in this picture, they were smiling, and there was confidence, and this joyful countenance. And I got to tell you, when I saw that, I thought about the past almost 45 years as both a youth pastor and a pastor. And I thought, I have seen that story thousands of times, meaning the glory of this new path. But I have also seen the reverse. In other words, you show me somebody who gets off of the path of darkness and onto the path of light. That's progress. That is a glorious and glowing light, and I've seen it, and you've seen it. It's in this room. But all the hundreds and hundreds of examples of the very opposite, where some young person in church, a godly home, and they're confident. They are joyful, real joy. They are growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. 6 years old and 9 years old and 12 years old. But then for whatever reason, they step off of the path of the just, swallow some devil's lie, and they quit church, and they step over into the path of the wicked. And you should see those after pictures. Because I've seen hundreds of them, the before and the after, that former countenance of grace and of joy and of beauty in months has become hard and bitter, fearful and cynical. And ironically, they call it freedom. They call it progress. And it is nothing of the kind. What it really is selfishness. And selfish pride is always the path of the wicked. And beloved, the way of transgressors is hard. And it will always be hard. Which brings us to the second thing in the text. Number one, on the path of the just, everything that's good just keeps getting better. On the path of the wicked, everything that's bad just keeps getting worse. Verse 18 again, but the path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You know, a few chapters after this, Solomon writes, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Why? You know, last week when the doctor told me in the office that I had just been tested and I just tested positive for strep throat, I'm sitting there and I am so achy. It's been a couple days now, so I'm achy and feverish from head to toe. They always have you sit on that little lame table and there's nowhere to sit back, lay down. You just sit there and I want to sit in the chair, that comfy chair across the room, which eventually I did, by the way. But I'm sitting there and I'm achy. And my head is exploding, and I can't swallow. The tonsils are like this big. And so the moment that she came back and she said that she had sent a prescription for antibiotics to CVS, from that second, that's all I cared about. So that all I wanted to do was get that first dose, right? You've been there. Just give me that first dose. Get it in my system now. She said, you'll start feeling better 48 hours after you take the first dose. Well, I'm not waiting to 48 hours and 5 minutes. I want that thing in me. So I'm listening to her. She's talking, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, come on, I can see my car. My car's right there. I want to go. If Finally, she lets me go, and I limp, and I drag myself to the car. My car's not sick, so it goes 80 miles an hour, three blocks. And I know the script's not going to be ready. But when they see the living dead spreading disease in their store, they'll expedite it. And they did. And while they were expediting, I went ahead and I knew I had to have something in my stomach to take that first pill as soon as possible. So in the store, I just grabbed some. You didn't pay for it first? No. You just look at the security camera and go, it's okay, I'll get it. I got some pretzels and water and I forced it down. And the moment she gave me that bottle of antibiotics, that moment I opened the bag right there in front of everybody, pulled it open, pulled one out, and took that water and took one. You said, Pastor, right there in the store? You opened it right there? You ate some of the food without paying for it? Look, folks, I'm not prolonging that pain and that agony for 80 more seconds. Why? Why would I want to stay on a path that, listen to this, would just keep getting worse and worse and worse? When I had in my hand the ability to get on a path that just gets better and better and better. The way of the wicked is darkness. They stumble, the Bible says, and they fall, and they don't even know what they're stumbling over. That is the consequence of ignorance. When people are in spiritual darkness, they hurt themselves and they hurt other people. They're stumbling around hurting themselves and others without truly caring or even knowing. On the path of darkness, everything that's bad always and only gets worse. You know, when I was a young man, I remember reading a novel, The Picture of Dorian Gray. I was at Martin County High School and there were some books that we could choose from, and I chose this specific book, and it was an amazing story. It's a story that's filled, and I do mean it's filled with irony. It's about the young, handsome man. He's in Victorian-era London, and he has a portrait. He's fairly wealthy and talented and good-looking, and so he has a portrait painted of himself. He wants the portrait so that he can remember years later what he always looked like in his prime, in his heyday as a young man. And it turns out it was such a stunning portrait. Dorian looks at it and he makes this wish that over time the painting would age and the painting itself would bear the marks of his sins and his hedonistic lifestyle, while he himself would be the one that would remain forever young. And his wish came true. Dorian walks the way of the wicked, and he lives a life of indulgence and self-corruption. And sure enough, the portrait, the painting itself, becomes grotesque and disgusting while he stays young and flawless and strikingly handsome. However, in the story, as the years go by, Dorian's lifestyle hurt other people. It even caused someone to lose their life. So when he looked at the portrait, he realized that what the portrait actually revealed with its grotesque and its ugliness and its rottenness, what it actually revealed was what he truly looked like on the inside. And so with all of his guilt and all of his remorse and his fears, he became so consumed with that painting that one day he took a knife and he stabbed the painting to destroy it. And when he did that, it killed himself. He himself died as a result. His body was found later, aged, grotesque, and withered, while the portrait was restored to its original beauty. That's the story. And you know why I said earlier it's filled with irony? Because, folks, that novel was written by Oscar Wilde, who, as a celebrated writer in London, was brilliant. He lived the life. Except unwilling to control his urges, he pursued his own desires. He ended up in a labor camp. And then he got diseases. And then poverty. He would go around borrowing money, homeless, borrowing money from one friend who was part of the aristocracy, one friend after another, just to get enough food to survive. And finally, he was found dead, homeless in France at just the age of 46. Wasted gifts, wasted resources, wasted opportunities, wasted years, because the way of the wicked is darkness, and everything that is bad on that path always gets worse. And that brings me to the third point of the text. We sit number one, for some, everything that's good gets better. Number two, for others, everything that's bad always gets worse. Number three, finally, for those on the path of the just, everything that's getting better ends with the best. Verse 18, "With the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto," here it is, "unto the perfect day." In other words, look, it's not just that the path of the just keeps getting better. It does. It is also that it ends with perfection, with eternal light. And do you know why I know that that's not pie in the sky, by and by, the opiate of the people, and so on and so forth? You know why I know that? Because our Lord Jesus explicitly told us of this very light, of this eternal glory. And then he added, "If it were not so, I would have told you." You think about that. The only one who ever existed, the only one who came from there and then went back to there, returned, promised us that we're going to be there, and it's perfect. You know, Thursday at our service, I mentioned that I made a pumpkin pie, which I've done for years. Lots of different recipes. For years, I did Louise's recipe, where there's a thin sort of layer of cream cheese and so on. But you know, our favorite is still the one on the Libby's can that calls for three separate spices, not the one pumpkin spice, all in one, you know, and it uses allspice. It's just not as good, trust me. As per usual, I meticulously followed the recipe. Only three of us really love pumpkin pie, myself, Crystal, and my mom. And so when it was finished baking, I sent my mom a picture. She could smell it. She said down there, "It smells so good up there." I keep her locked in the basement because she eats it all. And I got to tell you, folks, it was beautiful. Smooth, velvety filling, crust was flawlessly flaky, golden brown, crimped around the edges like delicate lace. The pie itself had this subtle sheen. And the light coming in, catching these little few, you know, those few rustic cracks there for charm. I couldn't wait for it to cool off and put a dollop of whipped cream on it. So I texted my mom the picture right out of the oven, but it wasn't until the next day that I actually decided to taste it. And when I tasted it, I thought, oh man, my taste buds, this strep throat is really bad. I can't taste anything anymore. But then I tasted it again and I had to spit it out. As I said Thursday, I completely forgot to use sugar. And there's a lot of sugar in that recipe. Now folks, the so-called pumpkin in a can of Libby's pumpkin is nothing of the kind. It's actually squash. Did you know that? It's squash, and sure enough, a pumpkin pie without sugar, it tastes a lot like squash pie, except it's worse than it sounds. So I'm sitting there, and I'm so disappointed. I'm trying to recoup my losses by breaking off some of the crumb and putting whipped cream on it and eating that, the crust. It was futile. I ended up tossing it with many tears. So anyway, Friday night, my mom texts me. And it says, "Jimmy, didn't you make a pumpkin pie?" She's been waiting for her piece. I mean, she had the photo. Where's the pie? It really was pie in the sky by and by. So much promise and so much hope and joy that ended with nothing. Actually, it was something. But the something... You know, James 1:15 says, "Sin, when it is finished." Okay, it might look good in the sheen, the smell, and the wow, it's awesome, and oh, it's great. Sin, when it is finished, this path bringeth forth death. But you know what the very next thing it says in that text by James? The very next thing it says in that text is, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. The path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Said, oh yeah, things that get better on this path end with life, eternal life. They end with the best, perfect, eternal light. The end of all other paths, no matter how good and appealing it looks or smells or feels, the end is eternal darkness. What does verse 26 say? Ponder the path of thy feet. You know, we have often said that the book of Proverbs isn't just a book of wisdom. What it really is, hear this, what it really is heaven's advice for how to live on this earth. It is heaven's advice for how to live on this earth. You know, when I was sick at home last week and I had the live stream up for the services, I noticed both times that before the service actually begins, during the sort of prelude, I can hear what's going on out in the auditorium. You can hear all the ambient noises. And what I heard in both occasions and always hear are the sounds and voices of little children before church. You can hear them. You can hear them playing and laughing and enjoying the simplicity of the path of the just. And it blessed my heart. Bring on more children. My prayer is that they will always stay on that path. That laughter and that joy and that simplicity and that fellowship of the Spirit, may their parents always stay on that path. See, ponder the path of thy feet. Where are you going? What path are you on? The path of light and blessing and glory that just gets better and better and better until the perfect day? Or the path of darkness? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know, that's me. Earlier you said, you know, some of us kind of gotten off the path. I just don't know how to get back on. Can I tell you how? Okay, you're on this path. It's the path of darkness. And you're hearing things and you're reading things and you're doing things that's making you bitter like Dorian Gray. You're aging beyond your years. That's the path you're on. Okay, here it is. Big secret. Ready? Get off. And get on the right path. Is that simple, Pastor? Yeah. You know how long it takes to get right with God? That long. I'm not saying it'll undo everything you've done, and there aren't consequences for what you've done, if you've done them. But you know how long it takes to get right with God? Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom today. That's how long it takes. Get on that path. And by the grace and the mercy of God, stay for yourself, for your marriage, for your children, your grandchildren, for your own character and testimony. Stay on the path of the just. And God's people said, amen. Our heads are bowed, please. Our eyes are closed. I wonder who might say this morning, Pastor Blaylock, I'm here today. And you know, you quoted that scripture from Psalm 40 that he brought me up out of the horrible pit. He put my feet on a rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth. Yeah, I remember that. I got saved once. And as a Christian this morning, I could testify that I'm saved, but I just needed this reminder today. Look, there are two paths that even Christians can walk. A path of light, a path of darkness. Why don't you just constantly ponder the path of thy feet? Ponder the path of your feet. What path are you on? Tonight, look, when church is over and no one's around and you're by yourself, ponder the path of your feet. What are they on? What path are they on, and where are they going? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next Saturday night, ponder the path of thy feet. Pastor Blaylock, I'm saved today by the grace of God. I'm born again by God's mercy. But as a Christian, I needed this reminder, and God has spoken to my heart about something. With heads bowed, who would raise their hands through the building? And amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Many of you. Most of you. Maybe you're here today or you're watching by live stream and you say, Pastor Blaylock, I couldn't raise my hand that I'm a Christian. At least I'm not sure of it. I'm not sure that he has brought me out of the miry clay of sin and being lost in darkness, but I want to be sure. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Blaylock, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be. I'm not going to embarrass you or come to you. Could we pray for you? With heads bowed, eyes closed, who would say that? Would you lift your hand right where you are? I'm not sure. God bless you. And God bless you. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Praise the Lord. Raise them up high enough to where we can see them. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. God bless you. We're going to pray in a moment and have a time of invitation. And people often say, wow, the difference in people, you know, 50 years you see them here and then you see them here. 50 years you see this couple here and 50 years later they have a strong marriage and they're it wasn't perfect going through, but they still love the Lord. They're still in church. And then 50 years later, these people have broken up and their kids are bitter and they're bitter and they're on their fourth or fifth relationship and it's just awful. All it is what path you're walking. He didn't say ponder the next 10 years, next 50 years. Ponder the path of your feet, your path. Look at your feet. Where are you walking? Going to pray in a moment, have a time of invitation. Andy's at the front. If you want to speak with him about salvation, and some of you raise your hand and said, I'm not sure I'm saved, please come forward during this invitation. Just come right up to him and say, I want to be saved today. He'll take the Bible and show you how. Christians in this room, we're coming to the end of a year, and that means the beginning of a brand new year. And you're going to walk a path this coming year of your choosing. Why don't you rededicate yourself again to walking the path of the just? Father, bless now the invitation. Thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that as we consider these things just now and in this moment of invitation and even going forward, Lord, please help us to realize that we have all of the warnings, all of the admonitions, all the evidences, all the blessings and promises that we would ever need to follow in the steps of Jesus. And not to make our own way, to trust in the Lord, and to lean not on our own understanding. Bless these who have asked for prayer, Lord, especially those for prayer, for salvation. Draw them to you, please. In Jesus' precious name, amen.